Whenever I step aboard the Metro North train from my present home in Manhattan toward my childhood home in coastal Connecticut, I feel as if I'm being borne back in time. Past New Rochelle, where my father took me to plumb the bays and inlets for flounder on divorced dad weekends, through Exclusive and Excluding Greenwich, where I guided a battered skiff in search of mackerel and bluefish, oblivious in my youth to all the many forces building against the sea. Back then, I was happy to be just another predator, hunting fish. But a little while ago, the Metro North out of Grand Central took me much deeper into the past, to a laboratory that has for the last 80 years been investigating some of the world's oldest organisms, organisms that paved the way for my memories and your existence. Indeed, nothing in our world would be as it is today but for these several thousand species of microscopic algae, also known as phytoplankton. Not only did they lay the foundation for complexity in the early eons of life on Earth, but they also continue to govern the modern cycles of oxygen and carbon that influence our planet's climate. Most relevant to the present account, they are also the creatures that first synthesized the omega-3 fatty acids. This fact was brought to my attention soon after I detrained at Milford, Connecticut. There I met a man who had spent his life staring into a microscope at the swirling brown and green world that lies at the bottom of everything. Gary Wickfors is the bemused white-haired sage who now runs the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's, or NOAA, laboratory in Milford, Connecticut. Still filled with a boyish curiosity about the natural world, and more than a little bit startled to find himself 62 years old, he nevertheless thinks often about the distant past. He is fond of antique musical instruments and can coax a tune out of a good many of them. Like any good scientist, he is hesitant to speculate about something he did not directly observe. But when I asked him about the very beginning of the omega-3 story, he grudgingly complied. "Well, believe it or not, I wasn't there," he joked. But phytoplankton are the main organisms on Earth that assemble omega-3s de novo. They have the enzymes and the cell machinery to make these fatty acids. The process of creating omega-3s was put in motion, Wickfors explained, by the way early life changed the world. It begins, as the Hebrew Bible correctly records, with light, or rather, with the way light played upon the sea and how the sea reacted to it. Around 2.7 billion years ago, a microorganism invented a process that could convert solar energy into chemical bonds, oxygen-producing photosynthesis. Eventually, the descendants of these early photosynthetic organisms came to make a fatty acid called alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA. A short-chain fatty acid, ALA, shows up most commonly in the thylakoid membranes of organelles known as chloroplasts. When ALA arrived on the scene, Earth was cloaked by an insulating blanket of carbon dioxide. As those first photosynthesizers broke carbon dioxide into its constituent elements, they stripped that blanket away. The atmosphere got both cooler and more oxygenated, bringing about a problem that was in part solved by transforming ALA into what are known as long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3s are unsaturated fats, that is, fats with dynamic, ever-pivoting double bonds between carbon atoms at the ends of their structures. The name omega comes from the fact that the first frenetic and freewheeling double bond appears at the omega end of the molecule, three carbons in from the terminus of the fatty acid chain. Their christener, the chemist Ralph Holman, was led to the name in the 1960s from a line in Revelation. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end," said God to John. Holman liked the powerful biblical resonance. But he also liked the name because, as he told the writer Susan Allport in her excellent history, The Queen of Fats, "something about omega rolls off the tongue easily." If the word omega rolls off the tongue, then the omega-3 fatty acids are similarly fluid. A membrane's degree of flexibility is largely dependent on what kinds of fats they contain, Gary Wickfors explained. If the membrane contains high amounts of what are called saturated fatty acids, fat molecules with brittle single carbon bonds, the membrane is stiff. If they are rich in unsaturated fats like omega-3s, they are fluid. Why is this important? Like everything in chemistry and in daily experience, things are stiffer when they're cold. At cold temperatures, unsaturated fatty acids make a membrane more flexible. It turns out that as a direct result of the cooler climate, something that early phytoplankton themselves brought about by stripping away all that insulating CO2, phytoplankton had to change to survive. The omega-3 was a key adaptation that allowed them to keep up with cooler times. The expansion of life towards the poles would have been dependent on the ability to maintain membrane fluidity at colder temperatures, Wick first continued. Contaminating the poles with life would require that capability. And contaminate them they did. Phytoplankton radiated far and wide. So numerous were they that we still experience the echo of their abundance every single day of our modern lives. The trillions upon trillions of ancient phytoplankton in their fossilized form are literally what drive us. Petroleum. Most of the gasoline we burn today began as clumps of plankton.